This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
For some of us, the idea of God engaging with us in our everyday lives is a really foreign concept. And for others, you may feel like God is constantly present, constantly showing up and doing things in your world. Dr. Ernest Crocker is a Christian doctor and follower of Jesus, and he's got a real fascination in how Jesus intervenes in the lives of everyday people. In his new book, The Man in White, he collects stories from professionals, academics, a train robber, even a surgeon facing death because of his faith, encouraging us with the ways God showed up for each of these people. I asked Dr. Crocker how each of us can have a more engaging faith and why he wanted to write this book.
Let me tell you who I am, Laura. I'm not a miracle chaser. I'm not a theologian. I'm a nuclear medicine physician and a scientist and a follower of Jesus, and I'm passionate about the way that God intervenes in the lives of normal people. And these are stories that God has brought to me, and I realized if I didn't tell them, nobody would, but I'm finding that they're life-changing.
So did you go on a journey to find these stories, or as you say, they sort of came to you? Were people bringing them to you from their own experiences?
Oh, they come to me. I'm amazed the way I find them. People always ask me that question, but I don't go looking for them. And I believe that all my life, you know, this has been God's plan for me to do this from when I was just a resident of Prince Alfred. And now over the past 10, 15 years, I've seen it happening, and it's amazing.
Yeah, it's got to be comforting to know that people feel like you're someone they can confide in and share the way that God's doing things in their lives.
Well, yes, and I think God set that up because, as I said, I'm a scientist and I can't put things in writing unless I've researched it, reviewed it, confirmed it, and I'm happy to do that because my reputation's on the line as a specialist physician.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you've pursued a very scientific career when you've also got this clear faith in Jesus as well. The book does take us back right to the beginning of your career as a doctor and some of the early studies that you were doing. Take us back to that kind of time. Why did you decide to study medicine initially?
One thing I'm passionate about is that God speaks to us, and he does speak to us. You know, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. And I was out jogging one day as a teenager, I was only about 15, and God spoke to me, not audibly, but quietly, and said, one day you'll be a doctor. And I couldn't believe it, because I had no intention of being a doctor. When I got home, I told my mum and dad, they were pleased, and I promptly forgot. And it wasn't until years later, standing on the front doorsteps of Prince Alfred Hospital waiting to be admitted as an intern, I thought, oh my gosh, you know, the prophecy is fulfilled. What God said is actually happening. So that's how I got into medicine.
And we'll dive into a second how your faith fits into that profession, but I wanted to ask you as well, for some people reading your book or even hearing your conversation, the idea of a miracle might be sort of foreign to them, because for some people they see coincidence or they view things as, you know, sort of quote-unquote good karma. What is it that you think classifies something as a miracle?
Well, it's confirmed. I'm a doctor, and all doctors, like anyone else, I'm a cynic, and I have to have things proved to me. And that's what happened when I was a young Christian guy going to an Anglican church. I went to the rector and said, hey, man, there's got to be more to Christianity than just being saved and saving others. And he didn't know what to tell me. But shortly after that, as an intern at PA, I received the Holy Spirit. And then I had to think, whoa, what is this healing thing? You know, I'm a doctor. I don't think I believe in this stuff. But God showed me in a miraculous way within 24 hours how he heals. And I thought, wow, he did that in 24 hours. He spoke to me. I saw something that I cannot reconcile medically. You know, I was called out to pray for a lady that had a heart attack one night, and she died. And I spent an hour trying to resuscitate her, and I challenged God the night before, if you heal today, you've got to prove it to me. As I was kneeling praying for this woman, he said, now's the time. And I prayed for her while her hands were on my chest. Mm. And within half an hour in hospital, she was alive with a heartbeat and talking and no brain damage. And I thought, wow. You know, and see, God gives us a gift of faith like that, Laura, if we ask him. And even though I'm, you know, older now, whenever I doubt, and I do doubt, because everybody doubts, I think, no, I was there, I saw it. I was in that room and I saw God do that, and I can't deny it.
How did the other doctors and nurses around you react in a moment like that?
Well, the biggest problem with the Christian doctors, because They didn't know how to deal with it. The other doctors just treated it like, you know, here's a cardiac arrest that's come in, a lady, and they wanted to send her to the mortuary. But I said, come on, guys, because I knew them, because they were at PA, my hospital. And they took her in and they started to work on it. And you know, I'd put needles into her heart. I'd done everything I could, and nothing worked until God said, now's the time. But over the years, so that's what started me off, Laura, of talking to other doctors saying, hey, guys, you know, have you ever seen anything like this? And a few had. But what I found over a lifetime was that God intervenes in the lives of healthcare workers and everybody else in different ways, according to their needs at the time.
Yeah. And what is it that, I suppose, prompts you to link your faith with the role that you do? Because for some people, their faith is something very private and perhaps very separate from what they're doing on a daily basis. But for you, it sounds like your faith is completely, you know, you're immersed in it as part of what you're doing as a doctor as well.
Well, absolutely, Laura. I'm the state chairman of the Christian Medical and Dental Fellowship of Australia. That's my thing. Recently retired from clinical medicine as a specialist, but I now do this. It keeps me very busy. And I guess I've come to realise, we set up a prayer meeting last year for doctors when the COVID thing struck. And that we had 40 consecutive one-hour prayer meetings on Friday nights, and we're continuing again this year, and we're seeing results to prayer. And that strengthened my faith. So my life now is when I get up in the morning, doctor or not, I just sit having my cuppa about 6:30, praying to God and saying, Lord, lead me today. Holy Spirit, empower me. Give me wisdom. Help me to know what you want. And I've learned that the best thing is not to impress our agenda on God, but to find out what his agenda is for us. And when we do that, then, because often we get it wrong, and we say, oh, God, why didn't God answer my prayer? Because God had a better way. But I'll learn to wait on him and to press in and just wait.
Yeah, and in this last year, a lot of people's faith will have been rattled by what we've seen happening around the world. And there's a lot of people that have worked in the medical industry that are probably tired and challenged and then at times really inspired by some of the stories of, you know, overcoming and healing that they're seeing as well. What's your last year been like, and how have you kept passionate, I suppose, about hoping in the future?
We had to press in and say, you know, I mean, God wasn't causing this, but he was allowing it to happen. So, Lord, you know, we got together, sometimes up to 50 healthcare workers, and said, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? And the first thing we began to see that were GPs were coming back from overseas and saying, hey, in Paris, they're crying out in the street to God. And in other countries, you know, people were going to church, they were reading their Bibles, they were praying for English people were praying for the first time in their lives.
Mm.
And then we found that we were getting people from all around the world, Pakistan, Europe, Asia, joining our prayer meeting. And we saw that there was another prophecy of the Christian diaspora coming together for the first time and praying as one from around the world. And then we said, well, God, we don't know how to pray about this. And God gave us the verse, well, no, you don't know how to pray, but allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you in groanings that he understands. So we prayed in the Holy Spirit. And then, Lord, we said, but we don't understand what you're doing. He said, there are things that are known only to me and things that are known to you. So we realized that the things that were known to us, we praised him for, and the things we didn't know, we trusted him for. And then we found the verse, you know, I will reveal to you the hidden things. And he's doing that. And, of course, now we're seeing our way out of this pandemic. And so many people have been saved and really trusted themselves to God as they've gone through all the stress of this.
Yeah. Do you feel like Australians are having that same kind of lean into faith that we are seeing around the world? Because you don't always hear it in a very, you know, vivid way, what's actually happening for Australians. Do you think we're leaning in as well?
I think we are, and sort of my experience of talking to people, yes, we are not, maybe not to the same extent, because we don't seem to have been challenged the way that so many, you know, I mean, in America, there's one person dying every, 1.2 people dying every minute, you know, and that's the way it's been, and so they've been a terrible challenge. But, yes, we're seeing it here, and we're seeing people turning to God, people tuning into church that may not have been there before. You know, large numbers going online, church online, things like that.
Yeah,
doing that sort of thing.
happening a little bit more quietly, I guess. But in reading your book, I think a lot of people will just be encouraged and maybe challenged by how vivid some of the experiences are of people that see God work in their lives. And for me, one of the questions comes up is how we can actually get better at hearing from God and being sensitive to what he's doing around us. Because the experience of so many people in the book, in Man in White, may not match what a lot of the everyday readers are experiencing who would love to see God do something in their life. So how do you think we can get better at hearing from God and being sensitive to him?
Well, I mean, the Bible does say, ask and keep asking and knock and keep knocking. And if you knock, I will come in with you. But it's like any friend. You don't get to know a friend unless you spend time with them. You know, and you have to spend time with God. You have to find that time each day and just release yourself to him. Say, Holy Spirit, just fill every cell of my body and just speak to me in ways that only you understand to lead me in the way that you want me to go. And if you do that, the promise is there that he will do that. But so few people do. Oh, I'm too busy. They have a quiet time. But you can find time. Like if I had a tough time at work, I'd go into my office and close the door and say, all right, Lord, I need your help and I need it now. And I'd sort of go from first gear to third gear as he'd lift me up spiritually. I'd find that. It's real. But you've got to go to God. You've got to spend time with him and wait on him and trust him. And so many, I mean, the problem is, Laura, that, and this is the reason I really wrote this book, that there are so many people that just worship a historical Jesus and follow a Christian ethic. You know, they go to Bible studies, great. That's kind of where it stops. But it should be, our Christian life should be a dynamic day-to-day walk through life with the living Jesus, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, you know, okay, we receive the Holy Spirit when we become Christians, but there's more to it than that. Then you've got to release yourself to him and expect him to work through you. And unless you do that, it's like having $1 million in the bank. Unless you draw on it, you'll never know the benefit.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.